Elizabeth Elliot says, Hollywood's notion of love is millions of miles from the slightest comprehension of what the love of God is all about. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of Quest for Love and Love Has a Price Tag, helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today about God's grace and our response. The two things are meant to work together. Sometimes we can get very tangled up in theological discussions about how much God has to do and how much we have to do, and I'm not going to try to untangle those theological tangles. I'm just going to try to show you some things which to me are crystal clear, and I don't think anybody could argue with, about grace and response, God's grace and man's response. I told you the story on Monday about our friend John, who became a Christian through the testimony of a man he met on the station platform who took the same commuter train that he took. And this man represented Christ to this man. He was Christ-like, because Christ lives in him. And Paul, the apostle, said, Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ lives in you and me when we receive him, when we're willing to respond to his grace. And I mentioned that John's first task that God assigned to him when he became a Christian, and to me this indicates how genuine that conversion was. A real conversion is going to make a real difference in a man's life. And the first task that God gave to him was, go home and love your wife. And as my husband and I were having dinner with this couple, the wife was silent throughout John's testimony as to how he came to the Lord, but then when he finished up to that point, go home and love your wife, she said, you know, I couldn't figure out what on earth he was talking about when he came home that night. She said, it took me a whole year to understand what he was talking about. That doesn't really surprise me, you know. Who can understand the work of grace? A radical transformation in the life of a man or a woman. There doesn't seem to be any human explanation. And of course, there isn't. And very often, the first thought of your friends and neighbors is, she's gone crazy. He's gone bonkers. They're out to lunch. And this man, John, was thinking to himself when this other man, who was a Christian, was so kind to him, he was wondering, why is this man doing this? Why is he so kind? Well, the Bible says, in me dwelleth no good thing. That's perfectly true. There is no good which originates in me. But nevertheless, we do need to understand this. I am capable of responding to the call of God. Why am I capable? Well, because he has made me capable. I had a call just a couple of days ago from a young girl in California named Janet. Well, Janet had called me several times, at least a year ago, I think, and I think Lars had talked to her a couple of times, and I had talked to her, and her question was a very, very confused one about this whole business of God's will and my will, and does God will for me to will something, or do I have to will God's will, and how can I will God's will if my will is not willing to will God's will? And on and on and on. I felt quite helpless to untangle all those intellectual tangles. And it was just a delight to have her call me the other day to say, well, guess what? I'm in shock. I got the answer. And so then she told me how she had been listening to somebody else on the radio. I don't remember who it was. Or perhaps she'd been reading a book. And then she said, you know, all of a sudden, The penny dropped. I realized what God was saying to me. This person, whoever it was, the author or the speaker, had said something which made me realize this is the answer. But she said, you know what, Elizabeth? She said, I went back through my notes that I had made over that on the phone when I was talking with you, and you had said exactly the same thing. You had said exactly the same thing, but I didn't hear it. Now, what's the explanation? Well, I think it was the grace of God. Surely the grace of God was operating in her back a year ago in her desire to know the truth. But it's sometimes a very slow process. And the grace of God operated through that author or that speaker who gave her what now appeared to her to be a very simple answer. Now here's a verse for your consideration. John 7:17. Jesus said, "My teaching is not my own. It comes from him who sent me. If anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own." Surely most of us Christians have been challenged at some point by a non-Christian saying, "How do you know the Bible is true? What makes you think Jesus was God?" I don't think we're going to find an answer to either of those questions unless we are willing to be obedient to what he says. There are many things that can never be understood until we obey them. And Jesus said, if you're willing to do my Father's will, then you will know. And I don't believe that God is going to show us more than we are prepared to obey. Would God tell us that we must will to do his will unless it were possible so to will? Nothing is possible to us that God has made impossible. Would he make it impossible for me to offer myself in obedience to his will? Would he want my obedience if he had made it impossible for me to refuse? He draws us by the delight he gives to our hearts, the sense of finding in him all we have longed for all our lives, the empty vacuum filled at last, peace for our souls. Esther's fears were relieved when she went into King Xerxes. She found grace in his sight, and he crowned her as his queen. Paul's terror was calmed by the simple command. I'm speaking of the Apostle Paul. Before he was Paul, his name was Saul. You remember how the light shone on him when he was on the road to Damascus. He fell to the ground, and he said, "What do you want me to do, Lord?" And the simple command came, "Get up, go into the city, and it will be shown you what you must do." Now let me give a simple human illustration of grace and response. I was attracted to Addison Leach, my second husband, in that first conversation that I had with him in Tarkio, Missouri, back in 1967, I guess it was. He was a tall, good-looking, older man, 18 years older than I, very interesting, very charming, manly, gentlemanly, gracious, humorous, and intelligent. I was attracted to him. The Bible says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts," and that's a choice. But you have to taste and see. My friends Dave and Dee Redding had told me about Ad Leach. They told me how charming he was, but I didn't taste and see until we sat down in the Reddings' living room and had a conversation. I was attracted. Are you attracted to the Lord Jesus? Blessed is the man who trusts. That's a choice. Well, the day came several years later when Ad Leach's wife had died. She had been ill with cancer when I first met him, had been ill for many years and had lasted a great deal longer than anyone, including the doctors, had expected her to last. And so he was a widower, and several years later, after her death, he came and asked me to marry him. I chose to say yes. I could choose to say no. My will was bound and determined to commit myself. I decided to consent, not to refuse. To say yes, not to say no. I had complete freedom to choose yes or no, consent or refusal. In the same way, or in an analogous way, God moves and incites us, and we can cooperate by consenting, if we're willing. If we won't, God has given us that terrible choice. We can say no to God. If we do not reject the grace of God's everlasting love, that glorious love, He goes on pouring it into us and through us, so that we too may love the world and that we may be instruments of His peace. I want to close with an ancient prayer. Lord, make me an instrument of Thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is sadness, joy. Where there is darkness, light. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.